Well, tonight we're going to have a prayer meeting focus, and I just want to share a few scriptures that really are what I had already planned and prepared last Lord's Day, as far as the continuing on desiring revival. And I guess I could say that we desire revival, and if we really desire revival, then we'll take it however God chooses to bring it. And His ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 clearly says His ways are higher than our ways, and that we as His people could stand together as one and be found faithful in seeking revival in our own hearts and our own lives. And I know that we all need it. And Psalmist said in Psalm 85 and verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I'm reminded again of last Lord's Day evening and the focus on desiring personal spiritual revival, not for us as individuals, but for us as a part of a whole. And even this morning, asking you to be sticks that would be added to our bundle, because we need to be strengthened so we do not break. I'm asking for individuals to come together for revival, to come together for one another, as we've done before and as we will do yet again. And in that, the focus of last week was the desire to seek revival through humbling ourselves and realizing that God desires for us to be, as His people, a people who seek Him, a people who are brought to their knees, and a people whom will repent and confess sin and have a broken and contrite heart, which God says He will not despise. We looked at the importance of tears being our meat day and night. And those are Psalm 42:3. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And I know that the context is being derided or chided for your faith, and waiting for God to deliver you, and people mocking and things at you. And I'm not hoping for that. But the heart's desire of realizing that when my tears are meat day and night, the Lord is there. He is nigh unto such, unto them that are of a broken spirit or a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34 and verse number 18 revealed to us. And then the end focus of last week was this, is that ultimately revival has a lot to do with joy. I don't want you to perceive the fact that when you're going through struggles, that you have to be constantly with a poochy lip and a somber spirit. The reality of it is, in this past week, we have laughed much. We have wept much. We have sat quietly much. We have talked and held one another. And we've laughed again and cried again. These are realities. And my prayer is that personally and corporately, that we would see a revival of joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. It can include it. Happiness is something that depends upon our happenings or happenstance. Joy is something that is deep and abiding. Joy is something that God gives us in the midst of our greatest times of need. That God's people can be, as some of our heroes of the faith in our families, God's people can be like a Darlene Dibler-Rose, who are in Japanese and in prison camps in Papua New Guinea, or Indonesia, and they can praise and give thanks and have joy and find the blessing of the Lord in their life in multitudes of ways, in ways that we would never think to give thanks to God for, like the protein of a maggot in your meal that they thanked God for, because it would sustain them. They had real joy. These are people that, for my own family, I know that since the time our children were born, we've read about these people. We've read about them in the scriptures, and we've read about them in great Christian biographies, and we have seen an abiding joy that we desire. So in this heart for revival, I want to just share a few verses tonight, in specifically in regards to, if you will, besides the brokenness and the humility that God desires from us, to look at what He uses to work in our lives. And I would say that in this church, hopefully, it's understood that there's a reason why there's a central emphasis placed on the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, both in the pulpit on Sunday morning and evening, and in the Bible studies that we have throughout here in Bremerton, and as well as in Tacoma, and through School of Ministry and training men for the ministry. These are all centered on the Word of the Living God, because it is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is the Word of God that is our comfort, is our solace. It is the Word of God that is our strength in time of need. It is our Word of God that is our food to sustain it. It is the, not our Word of God, it is the Word of God that is our food to sustain us. To comfort those who mourn, to rejoice with those that rejoice. The Scripture is replete with passages that really meet every need. So tonight I want to share with you some things that if you desire personal spiritual revival in your own life, and you desire that personal spiritual revival for the blessing of the whole, for the unity of the believers, for the sticks, the bundle coming together as one. Remember, several years ago, our theme for our church for the year was together as one. That we would be many, but one. We would be coming together as a body, as the children of Israel were when they gathered together in the streets as one man. We need, if that is going to take place, we need to have something to gather around. And that something is the Word of God, if you will. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is incarnate, who is in the flesh. He has given to us His very Word. And God says He has exalted His Word even above His own name. It has a very high place of importance. And in the believer's life, it should be absolutely essential. And I would say it is absolutely essential for anyone that desires revival in their life. You cannot have it apart from the Word of God. It's an impossibility. God works through His Word. You say, I want to see many souls come to know the Lord in this town. It's not going to happen because of a salesman that comes to the door and convinces everybody to pray a prayer. It's going to come because the power of the Word of God is proclaimed, whether it's in a coffee shop, or whether it's at a door, or whether it's at your lunchroom, or whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's to a group of children or to a group of adults. It is going to come about by the same means, by the proclamation of the Word of God. Faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will never see a working of God in our city or in our home if the Word of God is not opened. Even in our families, our family time around the Word, Timothy was brought to faith by the Word of God. They taught him the Holy Scriptures. That's what we need. God is faithful to His Word. So let me give you a few points about His Word tonight. Things that you've probably heard before. Things that we'll hear again. First, treat it as a treasure. God's Word is a treasure. We should seek to devour it. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It is when we seek the Word of God. Proverbs 19 and verse 10 says, it is more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Two things identifying richness and sweetness and even profitability. They're more to be desired than gold. I think if it would be, I know it's ultra simplistic, but it's still true. I think if it were to say we had stacks of money, stacks of gold bullion or however you say it, bullion. There was a bunch of gold bars over here, silver, and I said they're free for the taking. They are yours. They have benefit for your life in a financial means. I don't think anybody would say, you know, I'm just not really into gold. Don't you know that, you know, gold's totally out these days? Out, you can call it out if you want, but I wish I would have invested in gold about 5 years ago. If you know anything about the prices, they've gone through the roof. Now, I know that seems silly. Stacks of money, of course, everybody would come up and take some. If it was free for the taking. And yet we have in the Word of God the clear teaching that His Word is greater than gold. It's more precious than silver. It's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. And yet it is oftentimes left unattended in our lives. And we wonder why we have no joy, or we wonder why we don't have the spiritual desire that we once did, or we wonder why we don't have that sense of revival, or maybe the relationships that we have with our wife or our husband or our children or with the church family, they're just not what they used to be. It oftentimes is not a problem with the people that you're having a problem with. Oftentimes it's because you've lost your perspective, because you've stopped valuing what God values, and now you're valuing what the world values. And you've forsaken the Word of God in your life. We need to seek the Word of God. It is as great treasure. This is spoken of many times in Psalm 19. We find the same truth in this wonderful psalm about the Word of God and about His the heavens declaring the glory of God, as well as the Word of God being perfect to convert the soul. It says in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord, or the Word of God, is perfect in converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes, giving a good understanding and vision. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. More than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Not only does it have a positive building up impact, but it also has a preventative impact in our life. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Word of God is beneficial. The Word of God brings wisdom. It brings understanding to the simple-minded. It brings life. It warns us of death, right? We could say that. It warns us of error. It warns us of corruption. It warns us of sins that need to be forsaken. And none of us are beyond the place in our life where we don't need both. We need to be built up. We need to be warned. God delights when we obey His Word. Psalm 40 and verse 8 says, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. You want revival? You desire spiritual revival in your life? It comes when we delight in what God delights in, and you cannot delight in what God delights in if you do not love His Word. Psalm 119. The entire psalm, I'm not going to read it at this moment. Almost every single verse has references, and I say in the plural, to the Word of God. The law, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts, all of it is referring to the Word, to the Bible. My wife wrote in her blog about Anna and sent it out today into blogosphere land. And she had the scripture, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path." How can we know the way through the darkness without the Word of God? If we don't have that lamp and that light, we will stumble. And I would say, right now, in this moment, at this time, and I hope you understand that as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, it is impossible for what is affecting me in my life not to work its way out, both the good, and the bad, and the ugly. But I can say this. Though I know it will be tested beyond what we are hitherto been used to, we set out many, many years ago. If you're 80, that's a relative term. We set out 18 plus years ago. In the beginning of our marriage, with a resolute conviction of trusting in the Lord. And the verses that we clung to and have clung to over and over again, my dear, God has been faithful to. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 has been, in essence, my wife and I's call to unity, call to gather around the precious Word of God and to trust the Lord. But I want to make a distinction, not just trust the Lord because we're followers of Jesus and we trust the Lord because we became a Christian. I'm not talking about that trust in the Lord when we would call somebody and tell somebody, you need to trust in the Lord, you need to become a believer. That's the beginning, but it's not the end. It's only the beginning. We need to trust the Lord. And this verse did not only include just the area of our salvation. It seemed a logical jump to say, if we are going to trust God with our eternity, if we're going to trust God with the last breath, with the last day of our life, then we could trust Him with every other breath of that life. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." This is not a complex verse. This is not hard to understand. Even the simple can understand this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means God wants all of it. Remember the great commandment? It's found in the Shema in Deuteronomy. To love thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind and strength. It's repeated in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. We are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That literally is talking about every part of you. Your strength, your physical strength, everything in you is for the Lord. Trust Him with it. Your mind is to be dedicated to the Lord. Seek Him. Search the Scriptures. Know more and more about Him. Desire to know about Him. Trust in Him with all of your mind. Trust in Him with your soul. God has sent His Son to seek and to save that which is lost. He saves the soul of man. And with all of our heart, say all of the mind, the will, the emotions, everything that kind of makes up the essence of who we are, it's His. Trust Him with it. And if we do that, if we put the trusting and the loving together, we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we trust Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it means He is going to get into everything. I don't mean that like a 2-year-old getting into the wrong kinds of things. I mean it. He's going to be in everything. What you do is going to be dependent, or should be, if you're following Him rightly, and we haven't always done this in everything, is to say, what does the Lord want in this? How is the Lord going to use this? We are to trust. Do you think that you will ever experience revival, personal, spiritual revival, if you can't trust the one who you say is your Savior with the everyday circumstances of life? I look around the room and I could point out, I could call on individuals who have trusted the Lord, not only as their Savior, but have said, I've given this area, even sometimes bit by bit, over to the Lord. And He's answered prayers. He's been found faithful and true, trustworthy, that you can rest in Him, that the weight of everything that you have can stand in Him. I originally put, God demands that we trust in His Word, and He does. But I think that the heart motive behind it is more that God desires us to trust His Word. I think it's relatively a decent example with my own children. I have no qualms about commanding my children or demanding that they obey me. And sometimes the demand has to be followed up with correction, right? We love our children, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth every son, right? With our children, we chasten them betimes, early, often, on the behinds, all right? And in that chastening, we're not trying to get them to fulfill a demand, we're trying to turn their heart towards desire. To know that their father loves them. To know that their mother loves them. To know that we want them to obey. We want them to yield. We want them to trust. Something as simple as holding out your arms and say, you can trust me, baby. Jump. As they jump off one stair. But you're building trust. You're saying, trust your daddy. Trust your mom. We've got the best in mind for you. That's why it's such a sacred trust to be a parent. God has entrusted to us children. They're His, but they're ours. And we teach them to trust. Why? Because ultimately I'm trying to be a picture of what the Heavenly Father does for all of us. He wants us to trust, and He calls us to trust Him. And He doesn't usually start out with grandiose things. He usually asks us to jump off the first stair. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it feels like we're going to jump off the top of a building. Now, don't do this, okay? Don't jump off the top of a building. I'm trusting you, Jesus. I heard it from the pulpit. I'm using a metaphor, okay? Right now doesn't feel like jumping off the first stair. But I can tell you that the Lord has been patient in how He's taught us how to trust Him. With increasing difficulty and increasing benefit. A benefit that we will never experience if we don't learn to trust Him on the first stair. A relationship with my children that if they don't learn to trust their daddy, if they don't learn that even though their daddy chastens them, even though that when they're young, there is probably more no's and more corrections than there is, you know, yes and amens. But it's for a reason. Because I want to build that trust. I want to build that relationship so that when it comes time to the big things in life, they'll trust. We just finished this biblical courtship series, and I read, even after I was done, I read a statement about a little quote, and it so reverberated what I had said already. Is that should a man have the responsibility, the ability to tell his daughter that she shouldn't get married and she should listen to him? And the answer was yes, but he should have started 15 years earlier to have her heart. To build the trust. That's what I'm talking about. And I believe that tonight, by God's grace, and with your prayers, and with your help, and with something far more personal and important than we've ever faced, God's asking us to trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, baby, is still true. Anna was sitting right there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is still true for me, for my wife, for our family. It's still true to be able to go to my daughter and wrap my arms around her and say, we gotta trust the Lord. She's trusting her daddy to make right decisions and to get her to the right places and the right doctors, and I understand all of that, but ultimately right now it's beyond my pay grade. But I will say that had we not taught them to trust us and to trust the Lord at the first step, it would be hard for her to have confidence to know, yes, we can trust the Lord. I hope it's all right that I share this, Eric, what you said today about the gold mine. Is that okay? He was blessed as a fellow physician when the doctor he heard said, you have a gold mine for a possibility of a donor match. But not just for the same reasons that we might think it's a donor match. But because the very verse that I read to you tonight, that God moved in our hearts about, It wasn't about trusting the Lord when your daughter has cancer. It was about trusting the Lord to give you a daughter. It was about trusting the Lord to give you whatever children He desired to give you. That has not always been easy, as through the years much ridicule and condemnation has been spurned our way. And yet it has been blessed multitudes of ways I cannot describe. And yet, even again, it may be God's chosen answer to prayer. That trusting here, and now trusting here, and because we trusted there, He's answering here. Does that make sense? I can tell you this with all honesty. We haven't always trusted. There have been times where we've wavered or we've been self-focused. But I know this. Even in those times, we knew that the Lord would be faithful to His Word. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's our ways, our plans. We're going to fix it. Doesn't work now. Right? The reality is, even when the things are small, it doesn't work then. Sometimes you just get an extra measure of God's grace for dumb things we do. Notice it says this, in all thy ways. Ways is a path. It's a road. In all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. In every way. Brother Russell said, in everything we want to glorify God. You know what that's saying? In everything we want to honor Him. It's all about Him. And tonight I hope and pray that we would see that even in this trial that our family is going to face, and that our family is going to be there, as I know has already been expressed over and over again. And the last thing, and I won't even preach this part tonight or teach this part tonight, but God has called us to preach His Word. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3 says, preach the Word. Be instant. In season. Out of season. When it's easy and when it's not. And God helping me, as I said this morning, I'm going to be as faithful as I can be in season and out of season to preach the Word of God. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, unto stories. The connotation is ones that are false. Tonight, I desire revival. I shared that last week before I ever knew any of this was going to take place. I said, I desire greater revival in my life. We've come through some waters. We've come through some difficulties. We've come through some heartaches. And I desire to have the fullness of joy in my life. And I know that whatever it takes, whatever God is going to use in my family, not just for me. Remember, not personal revival for yourself, but personal revival for your family. Personal revival for the church. Personal revival for the city and for the world. That we're part of a whole. That we're not alone. I want that revival. And I know that right now, God's called us to trust Him with something very precious. And tonight, I just want to ask if we could conclude the evening first by corporate prayer. Here's how I'd like to do it. Just like we do on Wednesday night. Just get on our knees before the Lord if you're able. If you're not able to get on your knees, just sitting is just fine. And just call out to the Lord together. Right where you're at, with the people you're around. You can join with others. You can move across. Doesn't matter. And just pray. Pray for whatever is burdening your heart. If the Lord brings something other than Anna, it's okay. If the Lord brings a missionary to your heart, or Elizabeth, who we prayed for this morning, to your heart, pray for them. We're going to have a corporate season of prayer. And I pray that in that, you would remember to pray for Anna, for her healing, whatever means God would choose, and for grace. We know this, and we have this comfort. From Psalm 103. And then we'll go to prayer. And then I want to conclude with a song that our song leader sung out of order tonight. It is well with my soul. I want to ask you to pray as well for a friend of mine who's starting a church in Gig Harbor. After many years of seeking to get here and prepare, they're having their first service next Sunday. And Brother Terry Lawson, he's sang here and preached here before. And I just would ask you to lift up him in prayer as well, as I know he would covet your prayers. And I want to try to send a small team of people to help him next Sunday on his first Sunday meeting. And I pray that we could be a help to him. Psalm 103 says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knows what we're made of. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's one thing I'm confident in. My daughter will be healed. You need to know what I mean by that. Baby, you will be healed. It may be here, but it will most certainly be in heaven, no matter what. But we're going to pray for here. And we're going to pray with expectancy. We're going to pray believing God for a miracle. And we're going to pray knowing He is more than able. And in all of it, in every day, I want you to remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Would you join me in prayer? Lift up your voices aloud to the Lord.